Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us in this service. Without you, we can do nothing, but with you, we can do all things. I pray, Lord, that you would sensitize our ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. If you didn't know, if we didn't make it clear, we need you this morning. We need you to function, to think right, to act right, to be right. Will you please bless us with your tangible presence as we get into your word, God? May we find you in the fine print. May we locate ourselves and may conviction come. Not the type of conviction that condemns us, the type of conviction that inspires us, God, to get closer to you, God. For getting closer to you, we can understand life. We can live life. Now, Lord, I would ask that you would allow the words of my mouth and meditation in my heart to be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and redeemer, and every glad and happy heart say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, you might as well praise him like Pastor Carol is. Oh, what a great sound. God bless you. God bless you. I guess they don't want me to have that podium. I won't have it then. It's over. Yeah. It's okay. Somebody stole it. No. Greetings to you today, congregation. Greetings to you watching by line. Greetings to you, Upper Venue. God is good. Look at that. Look at that. Look at Jesus bringing it back. It was just misplaced. We have been in our series, 48 Days to the Work You Love, and we started out talking about his work. You can't begin to think about how you love your work and all you have to do until you are totally surrendered to his work. Then we talked about your time that you have to do his work. Then we talked about God equipping you with special talents, in order to do his work. And today we're going to talk about your treasure. And I don't want you to be alarmed. There will be no, I'm going to talk about treasure today, which will be money, but there will be no offering taken. No one in the message is trying to get anything from you. Now let me hear you, look at me. No one is trying to get anything from you, but we're going to preach and we're going to come to you and give you what the word of the Lord says, because treasure is important. We're going to be going to 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. We're also going to go to 1 Timothy 6 through 10. We'll spend the balance of our time in Matthew 19, I would like you to take a moment and to inventory what you have in your life that is extremely valuable to you. And what would you do to maintain it or to keep it? People, I've had things that are valuable to me that were not valuable to other people. And I know that it doesn't look like I'm someone who would have lizards as a pet, chameleons to be specific, but I am. And someone thought I was insane when I bought a chameleon and it cost $500. Don't judge me. I'm in church, no condemnation. But I valued it. I valued it for what it brought to me. And when it died, some people celebrated. Because they don't value the right things. And some people cried. Because they have value for the right things. We all have a view of stuff we treasure or prize. And it is difficult for us to part with things that we treasure. Today I want to talk about the treasure that we have. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwell in it. So no matter what work produces for you, no matter what good or treasure, it is for the Lord. It is the Lord's, and we are only stewards of it. The Bible says that God gives you the power to get wealth, and we learned from last week that means he gives you the ability to take your talent and to use it or employ it for the benefit of others, and while the others are benefiting, he gives you a residual benefit of it being something that can take care of your life. Yeah, and this is a gift from God. God says, when you do your work, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to the government what is the government's, give to God what is God's. Now, here is the problem when it comes to treasure. We are all comfortable with letting the government extract from us their due right upon our income. Some at 10%, 15%, 25, 28, 33, or 35. All of the numbers seem high to me, no matter which one it is. But none of us is failing to pay because we know in here, you going to jail if you don't pay. Maybe not the year you didn't pay, but eventually they're going to catch you. And the fear that you could lose your freedom if you don't pay the government. No. If you don't let them take your stuff. They don't even ask you. We know they have the right to go in your bank account and just take it. But I see no formal protests being lodged. I see no silent protests being lodged. It is something that we've just surrendered to. We're taxed. And it seems as if God is comfortable himself when he owed taxes for him and Peter. Say, hey, look, just go pay our taxes. Give Caesar what Caesar's. It's like he's not trashing the tax code of the time, which was severe. But it seems when God, who owns everything, says, give to me, we have a problem with that. And see, the problem I'm having is the Bible says when you give to God, he's to get the first of everything. Every first thing belongs to God. Doesn't matter what it is. This is a scriptural principle. Every first thing belongs to God. But yet, it's difficult. When it comes to him, it's almost a negotiation. It's if we feel like it. It's if we want to. It's if we're convinced. It's if we feel good on the inside about it. And many times we can disqualify our need to obey the principle of God. Now, when did this principle come into effect? Well, not only did he tell the first man to be fruitful or to prosper, or what was the word I used last week? Be productive. Y'all, don't be scared when I talk to y'all, because, you know, it's like it just lets me know you got it. Be productive. Look, we're talking about treasure and money. Don't get stiff. Let the oil of joy fall upon you now. Good Lord. No one wants anything from you. God might, but that's your business. That's your business. So here it is. The first time that giving something to God is talked about is the story of Cain and Abel, the first children on the earth. And the Bible says Abel brought God the first and the fattest of the lambs. So a principle is established that God is to be dealt with first, and he's to get your best. Don't even think about something like 10%. Just forget that for a minute. Just know that God needs your treasured item first, and he needs the best part of it. That's what it is. Cain, on the other hand, said, the Bible said, gave the Lord something. not a specific thing. He gave him something. And Lord had a conversation with Cain. Your brother has given in faith according to my principle, given to me first. He said, don't you know if you do good, I'll accept yours as well. So not everything you give to God is accepted. Not everything you give. I remember the first time I was learning about giving, and I was just maybe in my teens or early 20s, and in our church we had to walk, you know, to give the offering, and I was just upset, because I was thinking, you know what, yeah, I have that money, and I had a plan for it, and yeah, they convinced me, and I'm going to give it to you, Jesus. And so when I walked around there, and I got to, I threw it in, like, you can have it. And I, first time I felt a conviction, I felt the Lord say it back to me, and you can have it back. Go on, dig in there and just get it. Get it. Because we all want something, but we want it with a certain dignity. God deserves to be given that way. But because Cain did not give to God first, did not give God his best, did not listen to God's correction, he ends up in an argument with his brother and murdering his brother because his own deeds were wrong and his brother's deeds were good. How do you know when treasure possesses you versus you possessing treasure? What happens is when God can't get you out of that pattern, you can end up doing the very things that you would be averse to if you were in your sober mind. You can only let the Lord have the reins of your life. The Bible says, naked, 1 Timothy 6 says, naked you came in the world. And guess how you leaving? With nothing. Can't take nothing with you. So you've got to understand that we are only stewards of it. My wife, I didn't say this last service, I just thought of it. You wrote a song a long time ago, never released it. But it was God asking a question about our sacrifice versus his. Would you die for me like I died for you? Even if it means to give up things that pleasure you, would you do as I up and leave behind everything that mattered in the name of love? Would you take a stand so we could be together, even if you find you're standing all alone? Would you like to spend eternity together? Would you do it? Oh, would you die for me? The Bible says, he that seeks to preserve his life would lose it. But he that would give his life, they will find it. They will have life. So that's what we want to have in our church today. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 9 and the 10th verse. And it says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. God is a good God. He not only tells you the principle of what you should do for him first, but he tells you that he's the person that is supplying what you need in order to sow. He always gives seed. He always gives seed. You start out with treasure. You may not feel like you have much, but you have enough to give to God. And because God must be given to first, you have something that you can sow. Now, the reason that you sow, and this scripture deals with sowing before it deals with bread. It says you sow, you get seed to sow, and you get bread to eat, because God wants you to eat for weeks and for months. And if you eat all of your seed, you won't have anything to sow, and you will be begging. I worked at the SOS Crisis Center growing up as a social worker, and here's something that I realized, that and we worked with homeless people. I was the suicide hotline and all this stuff. And here's what I learned about homeless people. Homeless people are very similar to us, except they've lost everything. Or they've lost the will to do stuff. Do you know that these people who are homeless, they have doctor degrees, master's degrees, they're accomplished athletes, artists. They were great entrepreneurs. They had it all. And And what you find is, according to statistics, most Americans are 1 to 2 paychecks away from homelessness. Now, maybe you didn't add your money right at home, go back and miss 2 checks you can't make up and see where you're going to be. Hopefully, not in the wrong place, but I want you to understand that this place of poverty can happen to anyone. But what God does is give you a guarantee to not be in an impoverished position. And it is a principle that he said, as long as the earth remains, there'll be night and day, cold and heat, spring and summer, and it'll be seed time and harvest time. In other words, he says he's always going to let this principle work. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. So whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he said, when you sow your seed, he will greatly multiply your seed. God's going to give you more so that you can do more with it. Amen. God be the glory. Treasure. Let's go to Matthew. And we're going to start at the 16th verse. I can remember the first time that I got my first paycheck at work. This is a young man. This is not the one where, you know, this is when I got a check with my name on it, you know, and not the under the table pay. You know, under the table pay can confuse you. What else is that? You know, do I tie that? Oh, yeah. It's under the table, so, you know, it's kind of like, it's gray. I got that first paycheck. I don't know if you remember your first paycheck, but you look at it and you start to, you know, you go back to your boss kind of right away because you're happy. And you just say, hey, I'm sorry. Y'all made a mistake. You know, I was making $7 an hour. I worked 40 hours. And I added it up, and I'm short. You know. And they recognize right away you're a rookie. And they say, yeah. The federal government took some. The state took some. The county. The city. Oh, yeah. And I said, who is this other person? They say, it's F-I-C, FICA? Yeah, they took something too. 7.7% on top of. And the more you make, the more they take. And it hurts you so bad. Because you've worked and you've earned and now they've taken. And on top of that, God asking you to sow. So the first time I got that check, I had to tell God the truth. God, I have something to tell you. The government done stole our money, my money and your money. The government got all the money. I don't know what to tell you, Lord, you know. But I figured out, Lord, if you can fix them and you can get them to return, you know, what they stole from me, I'm going to hook you up because, but until, if they keep us both locked out, I know you're not expecting me to pay on top of that. I'm just young. I'm just starting in life. You ever been there? Hey, man. Someone said, I'm still there right now. I told Jesus that today. It's okay. You know what? When it comes to your treasure and it comes to all of the things that run through our mind about money, I say the biggest upgrade is, here's what I did. Once God got a hold to me, I had to say, all right, Lord, because you deserve the first and the best, I'm going to have to go back to before the government, not the government, the government. That's when you're mad at them. They're the government. Before they took my money, I'm going to go back to that moment because they didn't give me a choice about that, and I'm going to give you the first from there. That's what I did. Now, before you get, because you, if you're doing the math, and is he saying gross or net? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what God did in me. If he's going to be first and he's going to get the best, I've got to go back. Say, all right, Lord, I love you. I honor you. I bless you. And it looked like I'm not going to make it, but I'm going to honor you. Because that's where we get stuck right there with our treasure. Lord, I counted it all. And it's just not enough for you and me and them. So somebody got to live. And you said you come that we might have life. Well, I use all the scriptures on the Lord before. I'm telling you, I've used them all. But when that revelation hits you of who he is and that he's faithful not to let you, God, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he gonna reap in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He calls men to give unto the bosom. People always, somebody say, well, how did you get this? How do you do that? Look at my life. If God could put my life up on the screen and he can take the last 24, 25 years of my life and he can show you my giving record, my tithing record, then you can see where my increase is coming from. They didn't just give me nothing in life. Opportunities come when you sow. You sow grace, you reap grace. You sow love, you reap love. You sow faith, you reap faith. You sow resource, you reap resource. You sow nothing, you reap absolutely nothing. But you will eat a good meal, a seed. And you can ask for anything else you want. God gives us our work. Okay, Matthew, starting in the 16th verse. And behold, a man came upon him saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? See, this is the mindset we have for work. Here's what I'll do to get. Here's the contract I'll make with you. God, if you promise that you're going to bless me for what I'm giving you, then I'm in. What must I do to get life and to the full? What must I do to get eternal life? I'm willing to do whatever it takes, but I want to know what our contract is so I can hold you to it. But this is not based on works. For the Bible says, for by grace have you been saved, and it is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. So you can't work to get it, brother. I know you might want to. You can't give enough money to be saved. A man, I was desperate for money for the Youth Life Learning Center. I was the executive director for years. And we had to raise $1.3 million, and we needed the money bad, and I was about $50,000 short from payroll. Some of y'all may have been there before. And a man, I met with him. He wrote the check out right there at the table, and then he just started insulting God, insulting me, insulting this church, insulting. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And so I just told him, you can keep that check because I'm going to trust God, because he's not blessing me and blessing these children and blessing this organization based on my effort, but my faith. My faith is not in you. It's not you. So in other words, you can't buy me. You can't buy God. He wanted me to put his name up in here. I said, we're not putting no man's name up in the church. Because you did something. I said, $50,000 can't buy you. It's not an entry fee. You keep it. Now, you might owe it to God. That's your business. It's a lot of ministries that'll take the money. I don't. I'm just telling you, I don't think I'm special. What I'm trying to do is I cared about his soul. And I knew that he was trying to work his way somewhere without having a heart change. That's why God says, when you give, don't give grudgingly. Don't give out of compulsion. Don't give out of necessity. Give cheerfully. Don't give out of manipulation or being manipulated. If you ever feel manipulated from here, just release yourself. This is about honoring the principles. You don't work to get it. And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said, all of these I have kept. What do I still lack? And here's the question, with all of the work that you do for the Lord, all of the work that you do to be right and be righteous, will you be brave enough to ask God a question, what do I still lack? And every time I've asked God if I've lacked something, you know what has happened? He has told me, yes, James, you lack something. Every time that I've asked him, and he gives me a clue as to what that is. And then I've got this option of whether to devalue what the Lord is saying or to value what the Lord is saying. Will you be brave enough when it comes to your work and the treasures that you get from your work to ask God, is there anything lacking in your life? What do I still lack? Jesus said, okay. And Jesus answers this by showing him what he values but what he's worth to Jesus. Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, whole, complete, having nothing missing, nothing broken, not doing everything right, but all you necessary, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, I'm going to tell you, verse 21 used to mess me up, still messes me up. Because that's a serious statement. Like, you mean tell me the one thing I'm missing is I just don't need to have anything? And the Bible says in the Mark version that before Jesus said the statement, he looked upon him with love. See, he's not trying to show him how bad he is. He's trying to show him the pattern of how much he's loved, and he can trust that pattern. So the Bible says, Philippians 2. Start that for me. Just somebody by memory. So being in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. And then he humbled himself and became obedient to man in death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. See, Jesus, though he was rich, became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. He's not showing him how he can lose. He's showing him how he can win. He's showing him the very pattern that he lives by, that he's not afraid to give everything. Jesus is not afraid to give everything because he knows that this is how the Father rewards. He rewards you by giving you everything that you ever imagined and more. You cannot beat God in giving. Now, I don't want you to take this verse 21 that can trouble your spirit wrong. He is not asking you to apply it to your life in such an earthly manner that you say, if I want to love God, I just need to go sell my house, my business, and everything again. He's not saying that to you. Jesus is not saying that to you. So if you're getting that part of the message, somebody said, well, I wasn't getting that in the message anyway. Praise God for you helping somebody else. I wasn't about to sell a shoe. I mean, I just, you know, nothing. I mean, I was delivered from that already. All right. For those who wasn't, what he's helping you do is reveal wherever your heart might be. And he's helping you understand that giving God treasure or access to your treasure is a stewardship issue. It's a heart issue. It's overall, do you come to God with everything up for grabs, but knowing that God is not wicked? He's not going to ask. He's not in the Bible consistently asking everybody for everything. He's making a point to this man that something's got a hold of you that's keeping you from me. And because it's keeping you from me, the only thing I tell you to do is get rid of it, because it's first and I'm not first. So if you want to keep all your possessions, just keep him first. Go back and put him first. Whatever that means for you. And then guess what you get to do? Keep everything. Just get him first. God is so good that he's so non-judge. He will get on the judgment seat, but mercy triumphs over judgment. He would much rather give you mercy than give you a punishment. You know what God does when we don't do the right thing? He blesses us anyway. God just keep blessing you. You don't honor him first, he blesses you. You don't give him anything, he blesses you. He doesn't do that to let you know that you're doing all right. He does that because the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repent, turn, change, do something different, and be made whole. When a young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. When you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, when you hear Jesus reveal to you what the standard is for you, not the guy down the street, for you, when you hear Jesus, when you hear the Holy Spirit lead you about you, not the church, not the preacher, not your neighbor, when you hear Jesus about you, do you walk away from him? Just get sad about the overwhelming nature of the standard he's asking you to carry? Or do you say, like the next guys did, skip down to the 25th verse. And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who can be saved? If the standard is verse 21, giving up everything, do you possess? Well, I know we had a lot of stuff, and we're around people with a lot of stuff. Who can make it? Because if that's the standard, we won't have nothing. He's trying to get a message through. Verse 26, but Jesus looked at him and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You see, you'll never get to do the right thing with your treasure or your stewardship if you don't talk to who the owner really is. See, all God's really trying to get you to do is engage in a conversation with him about your possessions so they don't possess you. God is trying to get you to partner with him to build his kingdom, to build his work. God is not trying to get you to work so you can just pay your house note and your car note and, you know, and all these other things. God is trying to get you to work so that you can be a distribution system for his kingdom work. Life is not about us. I'm sorry. Now, what God is not saying is he's opposed to us having things, which is the beauty of it. God says he's created all things richly for us to enjoy. God wants you and me to enjoy everything as long as he's first. Finally, God is good at paying. He's good at making you wealthy. Peter said to him in reply, see, we've left everything to follow you. What then should we have? Scripture says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. So they sleeping out under the stars at times following Jesus. They've left families to follow Jesus. They've left businesses to follow Jesus. And this lesson is hard because they've already given so much. They're much like you who, if you're sitting in here, you already give. You already do what's right. Why? How come I get the message like this to do more? Why would I get this? So what are we going to get? We did that. We did what you asked. And he says, everyone that has left. No, Jesus said to them, truly I say unto you, in the new world, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or children or land for my sake, my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many last will be first. And I also want to tell you this. Jesus wants to make you wealthy when you put him first. It's because he can trust you with wealth, because you will never hoard it, dispense it according to your will, but you will constantly have a conversation with Jesus about what he wants you to do with it, where he wants you to go with it. Remember, there's no offering taken at the end of this message. The impact of it may not hit you for weeks or years. There may be no beneficiary to your life but Jesus Christ. But I hope you hear the principle today that your treasure, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. You either love one and hate the other, cleave to one and despise the other. No one can serve God and money. You cannot work for money. You work for the Lord, and the Lord gives you resources that cannot hold you. Stand to your feet. Today is the ending of a series and the ending of a message that I say goes like this. Just bow your heads, and ministry team, you can come down. It's my final prayer over you. All week we've had these blank checks. All week we've had these baskets. A month we've had these baskets in the front to remind Jesus when it comes to our time, talent, and treasure, we surrender all. You know, it's so funny that you can be the preacher of a message like this and still not have surrendered all. I find myself as one who prepares these messages having to deal with God showing me where I lack or come short. And I'm faced with the same question that every human being is: what am I going to do differently to make sure God is first? Sometimes I say that he's first, and the reality is he's just someone I get to. Sometimes I say that he's first, but it's so easy for me to dispense my resources for my own good quickly, and I'm so hesitant when it comes to what he asks me. This year he's asked me to give more to his kingdom than I've ever given in my life. And I'm saying yes, and I have, and I still will. No one's exempt, but here's the best news. No one's condemned. Freely you receive, freely you should give. His love remains whether we understand the principle or not. But there's something about being more effective in your work for Jesus when you understand this principle. So, Lord, I'm praying as we leave this place that we would be a surrendered people. We would be a people that would have done the work of saying yes to you and not no. God, may we be a church and a people known for the open hand, whether that's some ministry that's by us, whether it's one across the sea, whether it's our local church. We're just reaffirming that all the resource we gain from our work, it's yours first. And then, God, everyone else can line up and get whatever they're supposed to get after you get first. We're asking for help to have the right heart and the right mindset. And, Lord, I'm asking today that if there are those who haven't first given you their life and their whole heart, that they would examine themselves today. If Jesus doesn't have every part of you, you take a moment and examine yourself and say, Jesus, no one talking or moving. Say, Jesus, I've examined myself and I find that I'm holding back time or talent or treasure from you. And today I make a new commitment that when I ask you what I lack and you show me what I lack in time, I'll give it. When you show me what I lack in stewarding my talent for you, I'll give it. When you show me what I lack in dispensing my treasure for you, I'll do it. And God, I won't do it as a contract to get. I'll just do it out of appreciation for what I've already been given. That's immeasurable, incomparable. It's eternal life. Bless us as we leave this place, Lord. Bless those who are in sin to come and repent. Bless those who are not in relationship to come and get it today. Bless those who are not filled with the Spirit to be filled. Bless us all as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. God bless you. Wait a minute. Next week, we're going to be starting a series. It's going to be a powerful 4 weeks. It's called Lost. So this is a whole season where the lost people in your family, lost friends, lost neighbors, we're going after them. That we're not trying to make them members of our church. We're trying to make them members of the kingdom. So get your heart ready. God bless you. You're dismissed.